हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीहाद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
चैतनोपनयनम् Natya Shastra, Chapter 23, Costumes and Makeup, page 43. But if it is not found possible to use cloth suitably for this purpose, right, it means you make these shapes and forms with, you know, thin split bamboo and all that, and then cover it with cloth and then paint and do all that, then palm products and mats, kalinja, may be used instead. Because you can use these mats, they're very flexible in that. You can cover with that, and then on top of that, you do your painting and stuff. So maybe it's the cloth, it's not strong enough, it won't do that. Well, the mats will be stronger and stuff. Mm-hmm. Similarly, weapons of various forms are to be made with grass and pieces of sliced bamboo, and with lac and bandha. Have you found it yet?
No, Mother.
No. All the articles.
Maybe it is like a. Say it's telling, it's like a. Here it's describing the utensils or itself made out of it. I think it's like a Chinese clay, what you call those kind
clay,
of.
Clay, but clay's heavy. That would be heavy. You know, unless bandha means make some kind of glue or something. All the articles should be made with earth in various forms in imitation of the proper forms. Various hills and shields, armors, and banner staffs are made with bunda, cloth, beeswax, lac, and sheets of mica. And fruits and flowers growing in various regions and the various ornaments, bunda, should be made with lac. Similarly, it may be made with bunda, cloth, beeswax, and very thin copper sheets. Because copper also bends very easily.
Bunda is... actually means the vessels made out of it. These are the what lac and all are the metals or whatever are the elements, and then bandha is like you're making a vessel out of it. That's what is described. Bandha means a vessel, pot, utensil, plate, dish, something like that.
What it's saying here, heels, shields, armors, banner staff.
Made with bandha.
Yeah, unless it's just the that translation has come out, all right? So in other words, you make the shape.
Yeah.
So in other words, the shape of various hill shields are to be made with cloth of beeswax, lacs, and sheets of mica. You know, and you can use the, okay. Okay, making of ornaments. Jewels should be made with thin sheets of mica, colored with indigo or other plants or seeds, and these should be mounted on very thin sheets of copper or tin. The different kinds of crowns of which I spoke before should be made dazzling with loosely attached pieces of mica, so that they may shine like jewels. In case of all these objects, instructions for their making have not been mentioned in the Shastras. One must act according to the directions of the Acharya and be guided by relevant reasoning. This is the rule of action regarding the future mortals that should be adopted in dramatic production. Why? Because want of sufficient strength will occur in men in future generations. Mortals of pure strength should not make any undue physical exertion, and hence it is not desirable that their crowns or ornaments should be made with gold and jewels. For in battle, personal combat, dance, and in representing acts of challenge, persons burdened with heavy weight will feel fatigue and may even faint. So they should always be made out of something light. Because today they may be okay to wear it, but in some future they won't be able to wear it.
Maharaj, bandha, we call bandhagar, means a place full of accessories. So Banda means it's like where accessories are put, or the tools itself are called Banda.
Oh, okay, so the tools and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Shemay with tools, cloth, beeswax, lac, and sheets of mica. Okay.
Can we say that now, for example, plastic is
if you can, but how do you shape the plastic? So unless you can, you know, unless you have a shape, plastic sheet, therefore, I said before, styrofoam are these things you might use.
Otherwise, it's told as a principle. You go to the place where it is made, so you can go to China and collect all those.
Yeah, yeah, that would be the better. Is that wherever the thing's from, you collect it.
So you go give an order, they'll make anything out of plastic.
Yeah. It just means you use whatever. That's why he says instructions for these making have not been mentioned in the Shastras. He's just saying, you know, what to do. One must act according to the direction of the Acharya and be guided by relevant reason. So then you know what you're doing, and so then you do your best with what you have. You know, what's in your capacity, what's available, everything like that, then you make something. Because the point is you're trying to get the principle that's here. Mm-hmm. The main thing is it should be not too heavy. Like that. When an actor is overcome with pain or fatigue or is fainting, his performance is spoiled. Mm-hmm. One may even endanger his life by making movements with difficulty under such conditions. Hence, ornaments are to be made with thin sheets of copper, colored sheets of mica, Banda and beeswax covered with thin sheets of mica, or mica dyed red, blue, and green. Thus, by following the proper popular practice or exercising one's own discretion, one is to make properly theatrical accessories. Right. So then, see what's the popular practice. You use that. Okay. That they use a, you know, for backdrop. They use wood frames since they don't have bamboo. Well, here bamboo, you can do so much more with it. But they don't have that. They use very light wood, make frames, cover that with canvas. You know, they say cloth. You know, they cover it with canvas and then paint on that and, you know, stuff. You know, so then they, you know, it's the same principle. You just see what's going on. Or you use your own intelligence how to come up with what would be a nice way to do it. You see that. Somebody will do something. It'll go on like that for generations. And then someone will come up with some new idea. And then that will become the standard. Everyone will follow. So you just see what works.
Here bamboo works.
Yeah, here bamboo works because people know how to work with it. And that, well, in the West, they don't have the machetes. They wouldn't know how to cut it. That, you know. So if you're in a place that they know that, you use that. If not, then there's carpenters. They know how to use wood. You know. And if not, then you have the other guys. They know how to take their big knives and do everything with bamboo. Any relevant instruction which I may have omitted regarding the present topic is to be gathered from the popular usage. This is all about the extraneous representation that I was to tell you. I shall hereafter speak of the harmonious representation on the stage, Saman Yabhinaya. Right? So, in other words, you use your intelligence, you see what's locally available, what people do, what's the common practice. And use your intelligence. If that's good enough, that gets what you want, do it. And if not, then you adjust it. You start from there. What's the common practice in that? And then you improve on it. You know, they're just doing it because they're doing it. You can see a way to do it better. Like that. So in other words, the practical point is it happens. But it has to be based on the Vedic principle. The external detail, that then you have to see what's practical. Chapter 24, Harmonious Representation, Samanya Abhinaya, Adhyaya Prakashika. Samanya Abhinaya is that which is born out of an equal balance, Samana, combination of the Vachika, Angika, Sattvika Abhinayas, to communicate a commonly known concept, Samanya. The earlier analysis of Angika, Vachika, Aharya, and Sattvika Abhinayas are the basic components, which when judiciously blended together can be put forward in the form of Samanya Abhinaya, which forms the basic or general theatrical expressions which can easily be comprehended, associated, and relished by the onlooker. So Samanya means it's general. It's a general known, it's general understood, and all that. The topics which are commonly enjoyed by the people are based on human relationships. particularly the love themes and the relation between man and woman and their behavior in different mental situations. For establishing these in a dramatic presentation, the further psychological analysis of characters and their relevant physical behavior and their verbal utterances are elaborated in this chapter. Right? So how to bring all of it together at once and present it very nicely. Shloka Anusharanam. Verses 1 to 3, importance of sattva. 4 to 30, feminine graces in a drama. 31 to 39, 8 aspects of a man's sattva. 40 to 85, theatrical representation of Samanya Abhinaya. 98 to 143, various types of women. 144 to 238, etiquette towards women according to their nature. 239 to 238, acts prohibited on stage. Verses 1 to 3, importance of sattva. The harmonious representation, Samanyabhinaya, is known to depend on words and gestures. Among these, one should take special care about the sattva, for the dramatic production has this as its basis. The histrionic, theatrical representation with an exuberant sattva is superior. The one with a slight sattva is middling, and that with no exercise of sattva is inferior. Sattva is something invisible, but it gives support to emotional states and sentiments by means of horripilation, tears, and similar other sights displayed in proper places and in harmony with the sentiments to be produced. Viti. Sattvika Abhinaya is essential for realization of bhavas, emotional states, and rasa. Hence, every one of the 8 sthayi bhavas is established with the vibhava determinant and resulting in the anubhava consequent. Through the 33 vyavichari bhavas brought to the spectator through the subtle facial expressions of eyes, eyebrows, nostrils, lips, cheeks, and chin, and the 8 sthayi bhavas leading up to the rasotpati, rasa realization in the viewer. To enact the sattvika abhinaya is the most difficult. It needs tremendous concentration. But once this attitude has been mastered, the artist can hold the audience in his or her... just put in there, please. Because otherwise you have to add in it. You have to add in, you know, armadillo. You have to add in, you know... And give them the bliss of anandanubhava of rasa. Right, so the sattvika means is meaning the
temperament.
The temperament. Okay. Yeah. So put that in somewhere.
Okay.
Temperament. Okay. 4 to 30. Feminine graces in a drama. So this means that this is going to be their feminine temperament, like that. Dramatic experts know the young woman's graces, alankara, literally ornament, to be the support of sentiments in a drama. And these consist of changes in respect of their faces and other limbs. Of these, firstly, the change of limbs, angaja, is of 3 kinds, next to natural, sahaja, change of 10 kinds, and involuntary, ayatnaja, change of 7 kinds. Okay. So you have 3, 10, and 7, so 20. Udriti. The 20 feminine graces mentioned here are described by Srila Ramananda Rai as the 20 kinds of ecstatic symptoms that ornament the body of Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada lists these 20 symptoms in the purport as follows. The 20 different moods headed by Kila Kinchana are described as follows. First, in connection with the body, there are bhava, ecstasy, hava, gestures, and hela, negligence. In relation to the self, okay, so these are the natural. There are shobha, beauty, kanti, luster, deepti, brilliance, madhurya, sweetness, pragalbhata, impudence, audarya, magnanimity, and dharya, patience. And in relation to nature, oh no, because those were the 7.
Maharaj, Prabhupada doesn't mention all 20.
Oh, okay. And in relation to nature, there are lila, pastimes, vilasa, enjoyment, and vichiti, breaking off, and vibhrama, puzzlement. There are no English equivalents for the words kila kinchirit, motai, motaita, and kutamita. So he shows 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Then 3 more, that's 17. So there's again more. Okay.
The first 3 which he mentioned is the first one, the change of limbs. The next 7 which he mentioned is the involuntary changes. But in the natural ones, then
he doesn't do them all, because as it is, he don't have words to explain them. So he just, you know, get as far as he can, right? Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila, Chapter 8, Text 175, Purport.
When we speak about young women here, is mean, what is the age?
You have to see anything. But generally, when you're working on the broader sense, Kumara, Komara, Yovanam, Jara. So that means Kumara means up to 16. So you know, birth to 15. Then youth means from there until old age. So up into your 40s or like that, you know, 50. And then old age means then 50 on. So you have these three. And so then old age basically seems to have one category, unless you're going old, more old, really old, totally old. You know, wrinkled, decrepit, you know, like this. But they're putting in youth, then you have that younger youth and then middle-aged. And then Kumara then has the three features of Kumara, Pauganda, and Kaishor. Does that make sense? But otherwise, you can say all that is, you know, you're a child, then you're a young adult, or then you're an adult or a young adult, and then you're an older person. So I would say it would mean from the time that girls are, you know, it means any time, but basically you could say it's from the time when they could be married and all that, from, you know, like that, like from 12 on up to when they would be retiring. So that's, does that make sense? Yeah, so then that's why. And in any case, every young woman wants to be young, so like that. Does that make sense? You know, yeah.
I remember that a few years ago, I think, you mentioned that when we are 30, we are old.
We're middle-aged.
Middle-aged.
That's middle-aged. 30 is beginning of middle age. Up to 49. Then at 50, that begins old. And that goes up to 100. Then it's known as dead.
50 years, you're old. And then another 50 years, you kind of
get more old.
You're old for 50 years.
Yeah. So it's the biggest of all of them. Isn't that far out? You know, so it's the biggest. Then you have youth is a little smaller, and then the Kumara is the smallest.
Also within that, 50 to 70 or 80 is considered functional old age, but beyond 80 or
yes, yeah. It's somewhere in the 80s that it becomes less functional.
That's how it's said.
Depends on the background, the piety and all that.
Pension.
Hmm?
Depends on the pension.
Yes, depends on the pension. Yes. So.
That's where the saying, you mature at 80, because materially you are not functional then. At least at that time there is.
Yeah.
You should understand.
But also it says that 90, anyone who lives to 90, they're in their own category. They're always there to be respected by everyone, because just their view on life is there. Because they know at any time they can go, so then their view on things, they see things in a more natural light. They don't have an agenda. They're just kind of, you know, yeah, this is what it is. You can do it if you want. Don't do it. You know, so they have nothing to gain. Physical graces of women. Okay, so yes, so this is the change of limbs. Okay, the first one. Okay. Ecstatic feeling, pava. Okay. Yeah, here, gestures and negligence. It's expressions through gestures such as movement of eyebrows, hava, and graceful movements, hela, arising from one another being different aspects of sattva, is connected with the physical nature. 23. Hela is expressed mainly in the conjugal sentiment through graceful movements in the form of negligence of the beloved. Like that. I think it also mentions, you know, the head's kind of that's going on here. It's not straight. It's, you know, that's kind of like the neglect and all that.
The hava is itself where the gestures come, but then hala
it's
like
is the already attitude, that goes
attitude
with it.
You already know the attitude, what it is.
Yeah.
Like in when we express those kind of things, of course it's mainly applicable here, but then it's nakra in Hindi, it's like, no, you're having that, you know, why you're showing that attitude. It's very clear when the attitude is shown, and the hala is like already the attitude is clear. Hava is where the expressions are, the gestures are being expressed. So hala is the most intense. Hava is like where you can
is the see, move, it's more subtle.
Where you can see the physical expressions, gestures, but you cannot may or may not make out. But bhava is where he's internally thinking.
Right.
So it's not clear, it's more subtle.
Okay, so it's basically, your bhava will be the mind, and then the hava will be the you know, the, what you see in the face and the subtle, and then the hala will be the more obvious. But here it also has the element of neglect. So that's what he's saying, it's specifically you'll see that in the conjugal rasa. The others generally you don't see it because it's, you know, more straightforward. It's not a, it never says the path of parenthood is crooked. No, it's always a straight thing.
Yes.
But the conjugal, it's the crooked one. You know, it's going forward, but it doesn't go forward. It moves this way, then it moves that way, then it moves this way, because it doesn't. It's not so obvious because it's nice. So then it's folded, right? So in the same amount of space, you get more time. Does that make sense? No? Isn't that how they do that? In Dune, then they fold the space and then you're right there? No? Same principle. Okay. Sattva partakes the nature of the body, and ecstasy, bhava, arises from sattva. While its expression, gestures, hava from ecstasy, and its graceful expression or negligence, hala from the bhava. Yeah, because the negligence, it means it's a graceful expression, but it doesn't mean the graceful expression is not, you know, some form of negligence. Does that make sense? Yeah. Bhava is so called because of its representing, bhavayam, the inner feelings of the playwright by means of expressions coming from speech, limbs, face, and sattva. Sattva with excessive feeling, bhava, manifests itself in relation to persons of the opposite sex, and hava should be marked as relating to its various conditions. Right? So it means there's going to be the mood that's there, then there's going to be the various conditions that those are manifest in, you know, how it's seen. In the same connection, gestures, hava, should be known as arising from the mind, chitta, and manifest itself in changes of eyebrows and the reka of the neck, indicative of the conjugal sentiment.
Rechaka is the posture.
Yes. Right. So how the neck is.
Posture.
Yeah. Have a having, which depend on the conjugal sentiment, and reveals itself through graceful movements. Lalita Bhinaya is called the graceful expressions of feelings, hala, by the wise. Okay, so that's hala, okay. Hava, which is dependent on conjugal sentiment and reveals itself through graceful movements, lalita Bhinaya is called the graceful expression of feeling, hala, by the wise. So when it's expressed in a graceful way, that's hala. Hava is the sentiment and how it's manifesting, and then the hala is its graceful execution. Does that make sense? So you have like the face, this and that, and then the other movements that go along with it.
They are connected together.
Yeah, they're all connected together. You can't separate.
When you get one, you get the other one.
Yes, the natural come, but that's what you have to see is they're all there.
Yes.
That, you know, if the person is standing there straight limb going, oh, I am so ecstatic, it is so wonderful, you know, then you'll think, no, something's wrong here. the Abhinaya is lacking something here. Right? The Vritti. The physical graces are Bhava, Hava, and Hela, which arise from one another, each being a manifestation of an emotional aspect. May be understood that Bhava, feeling or emotional state, arises from the Sattva. Hava arises from Bhava and is manifest in the change of eyes and eyebrows and flexions of the neck, indicating the conjugal mood. Hela arises from Hava and is expressed through graceful movements. Right? So it's natural. It'll come from, there's the attitude, then it'll be the Bhava in the mind, then it'll be the facial expressions and the neck, the head, and then it'll be the rest of the body and how you're moving. So it'll all just follow one another. Natural graces of women. So you have to see all, yes.
Just whenever Lord Krishna comes to Radharani, it's like the Hava is always mentioned. How she moves her face and all.
Mm-hmm.
But the importance of it is not understood. And then comes followed by the Hela then.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because the Bhava and all that, that's there.
That's
so they'll bring out different things, whatever is the specialty of the Visesha of the. Of the particular moment. Yeah. Natural graces of women. The 10 natural graces, alankara, of women are pastimes, lila, enjoyment, vilasa, breaking off, vichiti, puzzlement, viprama, hysterical mood, kila kinchita, cha. Oh, okay. Yeah, hysterical mood doesn't exactly do it, huh? Manifestation of affection, motaya. Pretended anger, kutamita. Affected coldness, viboka. Lolling, lalita. And want of response, vihrita. That's why you see Prabhupada just stopped at one point.
Right?
Okay. So pastimes. Imitating the behavior of a lover by means of relevant words, gestures, and makeup. Alankara, literally ornament, which are delightful and inspired by affection, is called pastimes, lila. Enjoyment. Relevant changes of the special kind relating to the standing and sitting postures, as well as to gait and movement of the hands, eyebrows, and eyes, which occur at the sight of the beloved, are called amorous gestures or enjoyment, vilasa. Breaking off. The great beauty that results from the slightly careless placing of garlands, clothes, ornaments, and unguents is called breaking off or dishevel, vichiti. Wouldn't dishevel be a better... Why breaking off? Dishevel makes more sense. Okay. But what did Prabhupada mention? Did he get that? Mention those? Beauty, Kanti, Lusa, Deepti, Brilliance, Maturya, Sweetness, Pagalpa, Impudence, Audarya, Magnanimity, Darya, Patience. Oh no, Vichiti, breaking off. He did use it.
Actually, dishevel is the word which he used because.
Okay, but Vichiti probably used breaking off also.
No, that word I put. Because Prabhupada used it, it's not this.
Yeah, it means Prabhupada used breaking off. That's from the purpose.
Because it's because of the mood.
Oh, it means you're going up to a point and then just stop. You don't get into finishing it.
It's more on the mood rather than the literal.
Okay. Okay, breaking off means you go up to a particular point and stop. So you go to put the garland and then just kind of...
Yes.
That. Okay? Yeah, so it's just, so therefore breaking off. It's not about themselves, it's about them putting those things.
It doesn't fit in the mood, but it's still beautiful, that's why it is.
Yeah, well you're doing something and then you just take it and stop.
Yes.
Because there's the thing of hey, what was the thing before? What was the... There was the thing about neglect. Where was that? There was something about it being one of the main things.
Hela.
This is Hela.
That's Hela. Hela is neglect. Yeah, so it's also just an aspect of neglect. You go up to a point and then stop.
And you're the same weight.
Yeah. Yeah, be like you're bringing the preparation and the spoon, bring it right up, come up to like that. You think they're going to serve, then they put it in front of you and they walk off. Okay, puzzlement. Inversion of various items such as words, gestures, dresses, and makeup, and sattva due to intoxication, passion, and joy is called puzzlement, vibrama. Kila kinchita. Combination of isolated states of smiling, weeping, laughter, fear, sickness, fainting, and fatigue on account of excessive joy is called kila kinchita. Motayita occurs through pastimes, lila, amorous gestures, vilas, and the like, when at the mention of the beloved, one is being absorbed in thought of him. Kutamita. Kutamita arises on account of the joy and perplexity in lovers touching the hair, the breast, the lip, and the like, and is feigning distress when actually there is delight. Okay. Affected coldness. The indifference which women show to lovers on account of vanity and pride after they have realized their cherished desire, i.e. conquering the lover's heart, is called affected coldness, vibhuta. Affected, because affected means it's put on. That means it's histrionic. Mm-hmm. Right? It's theatrical. It's put on. Lolling. Graceful movements of hands, feet, brows, eyes, lips, etc. made by women is known as lolling, lalita. Sorry?
Lolling is doing nothing, being lazy. That's the translation.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but it's graceful movements and all that, lalita. It could also, a contemporary word they use is posturing. You know?
It's like laziness.
It can also be that just means that they're just lolling about. You can also just say they're just, you know, there and that, because they don't just sit there. Guys, you know, it's like they're going to loll, you have a chair. And you know how the chair goes like this and this. So normally you would put your bum here and your back here. But when you're lolling, and here's the edge, you put your bum here. And so your back is there and your head's about here. You know, it's like your back goes here and your head's just propped up by the thing and your feet are out. And then that's it. I think that's the only other thing you could do is then grab the remote or something or a drink, and that's about it. But girls, if there's that, because this is a conjugal environment, so they'll sit, they'll this, they'll do, all the, you know, things as if nothing's going on. So that's lolling. You know how girls sometimes sitting there and they play their hair and they flick and do this, and that's all lolling. So it's nothing's getting accomplished, but they're, yeah. Horses do it a lot also, you know? Sit there and that, put their leg out, and, you know, this, and, you know, yeah. Want of response. That, due to bashfulness, pretense, and nature, women do not make any reply to their lover, even when they have heard his words, is called want of response. Vihrita. Involuntary graces of women. Okay, so that is the 10 natural graces, right?
Yes.
So it should then... maybe on these things, maybe you should put a line or something. Then it makes it that clear that, because otherwise you have all this, especially in these lists like that. Involuntary graces of women. The involuntary graces are beauty, shobha, luster, kanti, sweetness, madhurya, brilliance, deepti, self-control, dharya, impudence, pragalbhya, and magnanimity, audarya. Beauty, decoration of limbs on account of good physical form, youth and loveliness being rendered manifest after the enjoyment of love is called beauty, shobha. Luster, it means these involuntary, these just come on their own. You know, it's like, you know, you give some sweet to the kid and then they're, you know, so happy and bright. It's involuntary. They're not doing that on purpose. These other ones, that they're very careful about. You know, that you can see they're contemplated like that. These just happen.
You
know.
We have only one word in English for everything. Cute.
Cute. Okay.
It looks cute. You don't know what looks cute.
Yeah. Okay. luster and brilliance. Oh, he put the two together. Beauty, which is full of a lover's passion, is called luster, kanti. High degree of charm is called brilliance, deepti. Sweetness. Moderation in the movement of limbs in all conditions, especially in radiance, deepti, and lolling, lalita, is called sweetness, madhurya. Yeah, in other words, everything's not moved too much. But if it's too much, it has a difference. It's not sweetness anymore. You know?
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, if it's a slight movement, then it's there. But if it's a big movement, then it'll take on another quality. Patience, a natural bend of the mind, which in all matters is free from rashness and boasting, is called patience, dharya. Impudence and magnanimity. The quality of not becoming agitated in speaking or acting anything, literally in practice, is called impudence. Courteous bearing in all situations is called magnanimity, audarya by the wise. Yeah, so that's the impudence. Is you're saying something and it's not that there's no reaction, meaning there's no want of response, is that they don't become, disturbed or agitated. You say something that could agitate, they don't become agitated. Then that's impudence. Does that make sense?
It's not the opposite.
Sorry?
It's not the opposite. The person with speaking.
No, see, patience is that free from rashness and boasting, because things come up and that, and you could say something or do something like that, but you don't. You cold and you deal and everything. So here the impudence, not becoming active like that in practice, means whatever happens, because you see it's like Prabhupada's talking about in the Krishna book, in that pastime with Krishna and Rukmini, when she's fanning and he's saying, I'm unqualified. You're from such a good family, and I'm not, and all these others like that. So maybe, you should find someone suitable for your character and all that, you know. So if they don't respond, they know it's there. There's a response, but you don't let on what the response is. You control it. That will be impudence, because you're not reacting to them. You know, so Rukmini, then she doesn't have that. She just faints. But if that was Satyabhama, then, you'd be smoldering there. Courteous bearing in all situations. No matter what happens, then you're always courteous. And that's magnanimity. So you see, is that, with training, people are cultured, and they'll deal like that. These graces are tender in connection with the performance of delicate nature. But in other cases, all the graces except amorous gesture, vilasa, lolling, lalita, may be brilliant. Deepta. Okay, so lolling can be more. Okay. So, yeah, because generally lolling tends to be a bit extreme. Because if they're doing that otherwise, then it must be the involuntary. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah? No?
Lolling is involuntary?
No, no. The lolling is not, but I'm saying if they're it's just like they're talking like that and the hand goes through the hair or something like that. That's involuntary. But then there's the one where they're just sitting there and throw their hair, That's lolling.
Yeah.
It's to get attention. Without paying it, as if they're just happen to be walking, and they're just not playing.
Yeah, moving back and forth.
Moving back and forth. I remember seeing, I think it was in New Zealand, some girl dressed Indian outfit, like head to toe, everything that you would wear, like at a wedding and stuff like that. Really long dress and that, and I forget how we saw it, but yeah, just walk from one side of the street to the other, you know, the light, then go to the other, and then when it goes, then go back, and then go, like, they'd just be, you know, and just hanging out, cutting profiles and all that and stuff. Yeah. May have been waiting for someone to come along or something. Getting really bored. Okay, verses 31 to 39. Eight aspects of the male sattva. Right. We have 20 of the feminine, and the men there's eight. brilliant character, shobha, graceful bearing, vilasa, sweetness, madhurya, steadiness, starya, gravity, gambhirya, sportiveness, lalita, magnanimity, audarya, and vigor, tejas, are the different aspects of the male sattva. Yeah. So then, yeah. And so if you use these, then you see that's actually the masculine mood. But sometimes they don't. They use this, they're self-centered and this and rough, and it's nothing to do with masculine. You know, like that. Something sense. So therefore it doesn't attract attention. So you see, these will match. You know, the feminine things has so many that it uses, and the masculine has them. You know. Brilliant character, skill in various things, heroism, and energy, aversion to mean acts, and emulation of the best virtues constitute brilliant character, shobha, literally beauty. Graceful bearing, eyes moving straight, gait as graceful, that of a bull, and smiling words constitute to graceful bearing, vilasa. Right, so it's controlled, it's powerful. Like that.
It said, Maharaj, the gait of a bull should be compared to only men, and that too of human class. So you, which animal you compare, you have to be very careful.
Okay. So why, the demigods is a different...
You can compare elephant, but you should not even compare to lion or something. That's only for kings.
Kings. Lions. Kings are like lions. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the man is like a bull. Okay, that comes at the end. Okay.
Yeah, because if you compare a girl to a cow or something.
Gate is always compared to swan.
Swan or elephant. Like that.
Tom Krishna Maharaj once gave his secretary a name at initiation. Called her Kamuddin. And she said... He said, "You look like one." She was like, she got very offended.
Okay.
She wasn't a young girl, but still.
Yeah. Okay. Sweetness. If due to a long practice in this direction, one's sense organs retain their firmness, even when great changes of the natural state have occurred, it is called sweetness, madhurya, literally sweetness. Why do we need literally sweetness?
Amara,
but... I mean, if it's obvious, then... The other one, shobha, beauty, that because brilliant character in that, because it differs, it's okay.
Sometimes I miss some place. Because every sentence have that literally.
Graceful bearing, literally, graceful bearing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Translations.
Steadiness. Steadiness, not relinquishing any undertaking related to duty. Wealth and enjoyment, irrespective of its good or bad results, is called steadiness, starya. So as you're applying yourself, duty, wealth, enjoyment, that even if things aren't working out, you're steady in your in the performance of the duties. And then eventually, you know, one will be successful. Because otherwise, if not, how would the hero then, you know, attain the end of the drama?
Yes.
Because they start off, and then there's something that, and then there's some something that comes up. It looks like it can be. Then there's obstacles, and then you get over the outcome of the obstacles, and there's results. So there has to be that steadiness. You know, he's going to be steady in defeating the bad guys, in attaining, you know, the relation with the girl, and what was the other words, and, you know, having all prosperity. Like that. You know, it's very rare they have it where he loses everything and but he wins the girl.
Yes.
Like that. And once they get to that, it just kind of ends. You know? You know, like that. I think, what was it? Jerusalem? It ends like that. Never so? Yeah. The guy goes down. He's escaping from a problem. He bumps into a bunch of knights. Somehow know that he comes along when there's a battle. He helps them, you know, and defeats the other guys. Then they take him on. Then because of his character, the head knight there then makes him the next guy. Then he goes to, you know, they're on their way to Jerusalem. Then he gets to Jerusalem. Then somehow or another he becomes the guy who runs the place.
Well, that's the heaven on earth.
Yeah, heaven on earth. That's it. Heaven on earth. Right? But at the end, then he gets the girl, but he doesn't have anything. So generally it's, you know, it works out and it's all of them. No?
Yeah.
So like that. But then here, you know. You know, because true love doesn't depend on anything, but, you know, they keep writing until he gets something. Right? Yeah. Okay. Gravity. Gravity, Gambhirya, is something due to an influence of which outward changes in cases of anger, joy, and tear do not occur. So, even though something's coming up, there's an influence of something that would cause anger, joy, and tear, that he doesn't. Mm-hmm. He just continues. You know, he's peaceful. Mm-hmm. Right? So you see it's different. With the men, it's gravity. With the women, it's impudence.
Yes, yes.
Like that. Because gravity is just your unaffected women. It's fighting against it. Mm-hmm. It's a slight difference. But that's what matches. Mm-hmm. That. Sportiveness, erotic movements and changes of features which are not deliberate, and which grow out of a tender nature, constitute sportiveness, lalita. What was the lalita before was the lalita. Yeah. Okay, sportiveness. So it's the same feature, right? And then magnanimity, making gifts, bestowing favors, and speaking sweet words to others as well as to one's own men is called magnanimity, audarya, right? So that you see is that there's the natural matching between them, though the feminine has many more subdivisions. Right. Like that. Vigor, that one does not tolerate even at the risk of one's life any reproach or insult made by others is called vigor, tejas. Right. So we Bhima, he's got, you know, this tejas. Vriti, having elaborated the importance of sattva and various aspects related to it, Bharat Muni next describes the different categories of samanyabhinaya, which involve proper combination of angika, gestures, vachika, words, aharya, costumes, and sattva. In different situations within a play, the four aspects of abhinaya can be combined in a different way to bring out the desired emotions and sentiments. Thus, Bharat Muni elaborates on the different categories of samanya abhinaya and its various forms and characteristics that are useful for the proper enactment of a play. Right? 'Cause then you're going to put all these together, right?
Mm-hmm.
40 to 85, theatrical representation of samanya abhinaya. Six categories of samanya abhinaya. Just when you think it's just, you know, one general term, then you find out, no, there's six subdivisions. O best of brahmanas, I have spoken about the theatrical representation through sattva. The samanya abhinaya can be brought under six categories in regards with the presentation of natya. Words, vachya, sucha, ankura, shaka, natyayita, and nivriyankura. Words, recitations in Sanskrit and Prakrit composed in verse or prose, when they possess meaning giving various sentiments, constitute the theatrical representation by words. Right? Because then, it's theatrical, you're acting at the time. Because otherwise you can be sitting there not acting, but this means you're acting. Yes?
Here, all the things which happened before are again discussed. So the author, it seems rhetorical again, it's brought up. He didn't understand the
that
point.
Now you're putting it all together.
Yes. The same thing which we do in philosophy.
Yes, yes.
Everywhere it works the same principle.
Yeah, the Vedic is always, you make an overview of the thing, mention the main parts, then you go down to the details, then you put it all back together again, and like that. So it has the same as in Nyaya. You make the point, you give the reasons, then you give all the details of what's going on and all the discussions and that. Then you bring it all together and then you give your presentation. So it's every panchang and nyaya, that's how anything works. No? Yes. Sucha. When the meaning of a sentence or the sentence itself is indicated first by sattva and gestures, and then a verbal representation is made, it is called sucha. Like sometimes you see that, the person will be thinking of that and go, huh? And they go, well, what are you talking about? You know, so the first, you already know what's going on, then it'll be expressed. Like that. Otherwise, just words, it's just being spoken. Like that, but there's always the thing where there's first the physical, you know, or the emotions, and then you have the sutra. Ankura. When one skillfully represents by gestures. Is that three? That's two. Oh, here it is. Okay. Ankura. When one skillfully represents by gestures in the matter of sutra and having the same source as the feeling which one has in one's heart is called representation of the Ankura. So does that mean something comes up, but this one's you act it out? The other one, it comes up and then you speak? And then this one, it means that now you're skillfully represents by gestures in the manner of the sutra. So then it's a whole thing, and you know, you're more acting out something rather than it's just a response. Does that seem to be? Does that make sense?
Yes. It's more on the... expressing of the...
The feeling, yeah, but in gestures. Yes, yes. And then you may speak.
The other one is, sucha is may not have that intensity of expression.
Yeah, but it's involuntary. It just comes up and it's just like there's some physical thing and then you speak. Well, this one, it seems to be you're acting out more the feeling and all that. But do they speak or it doesn't necessarily have to speak?
You didn't mention anything regarding
like that. I guess if you speak afterwards, then it would have the aspect of socha. So then you're expressing through that. Shaka, the representation that is made in due order by the head, face, shanks, thighs, hands, and feet in the manner of branches is known as the shaka representation.
We discussed the Angika Vinaya, all the...
Oh, okay. So then you're using all those. So that would be in connection with the dance more.
Yeah, dance, even the gestures. Dance is the most...
Dance. Or if it's something where it's something like that and then keep on, you know, just it keeps developing. So it seems that they keep going more and more. Natyagita is the enactment of a song, dhruva, relating to the bhava and rasa of the situation, meant to enliven the natya and fill in the time required for the other characters to enter. It may also be represented through instrumental music, but conveying the emotions through sucha and ankara. Ankura, 24. Abhinaya says that it may even represent a play within a play. Okay. So, dancing on top of the taxi with everybody else around...
That is bona fide. All the
Bollywood
songs are
bona fide. It's all not Yagita, right? And Nivrit Yankura. Okay. When one represents words of another person by sucha, it is called Nivrit Yankura. Okay, so one person is throwing something and you're imitating that. Okay. These are the theatrical ways connected with proper emotional states and sentiments that are available for the subject matter of plays. Right? So this is available, and this is how you would then produce, how you'd write your script to bring out these and to show these, and then when you produce it, then to make sure that they come out that way. Because I guess in the what do you call it? In the Vedic, you can actually just write those things in because you have all the words. And you can write that in, that it'll be this form, and then it'll go. So, more exact, because the other is just, there's not as much definition. You know, something major, he walks in, walks off. you know, throws something or, you know, does something, then that might be staged, things might be there, or, you know, begins to cry and then says this or something, you know. So then you get, you know, this some what was the other, sutra, stuff like that.
Like especially Maharaj, in the traditional dances, somewhere something goes wrong in the mood, like in the depth, they just mention some technical name, that's gone wrong, improve, and then you are sitting there, you don't understand what is happening, what he said, what is the improve. But they are like so particular.
They know all the things, because the difference between them, what's the subtle. Twelve forms of sentences for creating verbal representation. Okay, so now that we've, and these are just, then you're going to go through all the, oh no, it's just those. It's just going to be on the verbal. Okay. The representation of these is to take the following 12 forms. Accosting, alapa, prattling, pralapa, lament, vilapa, repeated speaking, anulapa, dialogue, sanglapa, change of words, apalapa, message, sandesha, agreement, antidesha, specific mention, nirdesha, pretext, vyapadesha, instruction, upadesha, and indirect communication, apadesha. So it all comes down to
which desha?
Lapas or deshas. Six, six, one, two, three, five, six, yeah. So six lapas and six stations. Accosting and prattling. Okay, so these so oh, they seem to go together. Okay, accosting, prattling. Accosting, alapa, is a sentence used in addressing anyone. Irrelevant words are called prattling, pralapa. So you can accost and then prattle. Lament and repeated speaking. Words originating in a pathetic condition are called lament, vilapa. Speaking again and again on anything is called repeated speaking, anulapa. So you see those go together very nicely. Dialogue and change of words. Dialogue, samlapa, is made up of utterance and counter-utterance. Change of words, apalapa, is the alteration of words spoken before. So you speak it, and then you make a change of words because you see that's not working or there's a bad reaction. So now, what we mean here is, you know. Yeah, it's like that. It says, no, what we mean is that, you know, Sarabi is there that serves and, you know, anything can, you know, be manifest, and then that would be change of words. Message and agreement. Speak this to him is an example of message, sandeshing. Saying you have said what was uttered to me is an example of agreement. Specific mention and pretext. Specific mention, nirdesha, pretext, vyapadesha. Okay. It is the same. It is the same. I that is speaking.
I in quotation.
Yeah, meaning it is I who is speaking.
Who is speaking?
No, it just means specific mention. You're just saying that, you know, I said
no,
that.
I'm saying instead of that, it should be who?
No, that's just specific mention. You just mention I said that, or I agree with that, or them. To speak with the purpose of deception is called pretext. You know, so you're saying that no, I'm saying this. Then pretext means then you know you're covering what your purpose is. The other one you're making it clear, and this one you're not. No. Yeah, instruction and indirect communication. To say do this or take this is an example of instruction, upadesha. Saying anything on behalf of another person is an example of indirect communication, upadesha. You know, you say, he said you should do this. So that will be indirect. Mm-hmm. Interesting, they all go together. Like that. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki.